Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and tonight we're talking all things round 21 waiver wire pickups, things we noticed over the weekend, the Statesman skippers and the injury report as well in what has been the worst round of AFL football in the history of the game. And with that, I welcome you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, you're only as good as your last game, Jono, and Sunday's been a snooze fest. Let's put it that way. Something that isn't a snooze fest. We're just gonna briefly. This is the one time thing. We are opening up the NFL Listener League. No Statesman. He doesn't understand it. It's probably my favorite game. But yeah. So if you email the draftdoctors@gmail.com, we'll get you in. We'll probably cut it off at I think a league of 12. Although if we have a couple extras, we might get into 14. We'll see how we're going. But listeners, if you love your NFL fantasy, we had a great league last year. I think even Mrs. Fizz finished higher on the ladder than I did. So come down and kick my butt at that.
And as always, we have the Statesman who's chasing the cash in the salary cap format, but we are allowing him on for the time being. How are you doing, Statesman? No Statesman.
Jeez, that's going well. Introduce Cam. He's ready to go.
Cam, he's here. He's had his bowl of cats and dogs, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, so thanks for that throw, Statesman, for just, you know, dropping off. It's fantastic. So I just wanted to say, guys, hasn't it been a bit of a bad time for my brother Gil? Yeah, just a trying couple of weeks. He's spent a lot of the time over the last few... I've spent a lot of time over the last few weeks trying to counsel him. And basically all he did was throw different rules at me as a sounding board, and they're all rubbish. Right, so what you actually saw was funneled considerably. I'm going to throw at you a couple of the best ones that I'd heard. Every club's theme song is Get Set by Taxi Ride. BT... Must do commentary over the PA at the G. There's no outs at all. Wherever the ball goes, the players have to go. And finally, games will go for 4 days. And each day, one team will attack. And at the end, if it's a draw, the Duckworth-Lewis will be called into effect. And it's just... That's the filtering that went on to get to where we got to with a large, erect... you know, penis-looking goal square that we saw in the VFL on the weekend. On the plus side, though, the People's McLaughlin has some better news. With a mini McLaughlin, a confirmed starter for 2019.
Hey! Yeah. Big congrats.
Thank you.
Way to join our Team Sex there, Cam. Jono's the only one who has no proof.
Thanks. I'm all about getting. I'm a perfectionist. I just got to practice and practice and practice and get it right. Got to get it right once, and that's it.
This is gone. The Statesman's just left. He's just
so
just left.
He's had enough.
Oh no! Just, wait, is he back? Yay!
He is back. Welcome back. He went and just did a bit of a rage punching the wall because Gaff is literally punching people, but racking up the points, costing Statesman some cash. How you doing?
Unbelievable. I will be honest, I've been so busy with life this weekend, not much footy has entered my eyes or my head, which has been probably a very lucky thing because I've lost absolutely everything I was involved in. So I've had no time to dwell on it. It's been a shocking weekend, I must admit. Every move I made was just disastrous. But anyway, that's happens in fantasy football. I've been onwards and upwards for about 8 weeks on the trot. So you can't complain of having one bad weekend. So I'll accept it and move on.
Well, it seems like we're in a bit of a bizarro world because I'm on top of the ladder in the Keeper League. Statesman, while you're down the bottom, it's polar opposites to last year.
Yes, I'm an absolute disgrace. But that's okay. I've set up really well to win the Premiership. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Fair enough. look, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at the Potato Bake and ST Porter 15 as well. Search the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and search the Draft Doctors on Facebook as well. And Steve, the meme that you put out on Friday afternoon, absolutely gangbusters. I've actually had to turn the notifications off my phone because it's just been blowing up. You put it up there, a bit of a congratulations to Nathan Freeman, Alex Johnson returning to football, but nothing compared to Toadie landing the big D, Madeline West on Neighbours, and took social media by storm. Big impressions on the social media.
Yeah, people love hearing about D getting the D from the Toadfish. But it sort of felt like we got the D in a lot of ways because it did okay on the Twitters, but Warnie was kind enough to, well, let's say DT Talk were kind enough to share it on their wall. And isn't it amazing when something reaches like 15,000 people as opposed to 7?
Yeah.
We get more likes. We get more likes. I'm not saying their audience is better than ours. We love our, you know, you guys are the best, but they get more people.
It was just like that scene from Wayne's World, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and yeah. So on, and so on. That's what it was like. Yeah, it was all good fun.
And I'll actually be starting my Toadfish Rebecca podcast next week based on these hits.
We will be getting, we actually even talked with Jared Maloney's management to get him on the pod and see if he knows anything fantasy football, but I highly doubt that whatsoever. Steve, what have you noticed this weekend in the terms of footballs?
Well, I'm going to be positive. You know, I'm going to be positive because there was a lot of positive stuff this week. North Melbourne, how's the form of Magic Door? His last 5 weeks have been pretty unbelievable. And three of those weeks, playing forward, kicked not the 9 goals. Now he's moved, shuffled back into defence, and he scored you the 111 and 92 Supercoach points and 81 and 71 Dream Team points. Mate, he is a legitimate pickup. He's playing the Bulldogs next week, especially for Supercoach. I've got my eye on him in our home league, Jono. I think he looks fantastic. And there's life after Scott Thompson for North Melbourne. He's just been fantastic, playing as sort of more of a loose man, but he's high-pointing the ball. He's doing fantastically well. So that, what was it, 17 years of development they've put into him, starting to pay off. Port Adelaide, the time on ground nightmare continues to be impossible to read. Tom Rockliffe, Ollie Wines, 61% time on ground, and Sam Powell-Pepper all under 68% time on ground. It's a strange mix they've got. Recruiting Rocky, you know, what do you do? I don't know how you bench these guys, but it's a thing. One thing I will say with Wines is he generally bounces back pretty hard after a bad score, but just those inside mids, they're all the same. Like, It's just hard to manage as an owner. Collingwood, again, being positive, start forwards against them now. No Shaz, no Lyndon Dunn. Jeremy Howe is down or out this week. We expect him to be back. Darcy Moore's gone down with a ham bone. And, you know, they had Brody Myercheck and Jack Madkin playing in defence. So not great. Not sure I'd start Eric Hipwood on him next week. Not really known for going above 40, the old Hipwood, but it might just be something you look at going forward, you know, maybe even the big O if you're in a deeper league. And it has given Tommy Langdon a pretty serious bump. He scored really well the last 2 weeks, so I know he's still floating around on some waiver wires. I would absolutely be picking him up. We've seen him score well before. GWS... probably look at picking up Rory Lobb. They had a few injuries today, and probably the one that is noticeable is big Dawson Simpson. So Rory Lobb, not sure it's a great matchup against Sam Jacobs next week, but I know he's been dropped in a lot of leagues. You know, if you're hitting your finals, he might. We don't know what the ankle situation is. It could be the Cindy. Maybe Cam will let us know a bit about that later. And just Adam Kennedy, hasn't it been great to see him come back? He's playing some great footy off that long-term knee injury. And But I'm not sure I'd go out and pick him up. He historically hasn't really been a great scorer, but he's looked pretty good, especially the last 2 weeks. And just for Carlton fans, the big H, he looks the goods. When they get some ball movement, Harry McKay certainly looks like forming a pretty formidable duo with Charlie Kerno. So there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but they just need some better midfielders, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough, and I think I switched that game off within about 4 minutes after GWS kicked away, and wasn't pretty to watch, and either was the Melbourne game. But Stason, what have you noticed this weekend?
Well, it's just proven that there's still some gems available on the waiver wire, even late in the year. Travis Collier, now I know he was an emergency and he was a late call-up, but he's only owned by 5% of teams. And knocked up a ton for those that were sitting on the bench. So keep your eye out, because those type of games can win you a premiership. Steve looked very upset there. Did you play against someone that had Collier and sneaked in 105 on you?
No, I've been playing him in DFS for like the last month, because he's been cheap as chips and been waiting for a good score, and he's been dropping 30 burgers on me. And the 1 week I don't play him, yeah. Bastard.
Well, we'll keep it on the same team, and this is a lesson for the young experts. It's about Michael Hurley. As discussed during the preseason, he's actually only had the one big season at 27 years of age. Turn 28 this year. So these players are actually not premiums, and therefore they are trade bait. So they are your selling targets during their boom season or just after their boom season. 10 points down from last year, and he's actually out of the top 15 averaging defenders now, Michael Hurley. So they're the type of things you've got to watch out. If someone just has one big boom year, that's all it is, make sure you cash in while you can. Next up, when left free to roam, Dane Zorko is a Jet. 154 this week, and we've seen since Jacobs has been out that North haven't been tagging, so that's a gold mine for people like Zorko, and it's the type of score that can change the outcome of a game, and hopefully would have helped you get a win this week, Steve, in the Listener League Keeper.
No, just travelling along nicely. I'm sure we get tagged next week and ruin my finals.
Yeah, he certainly will. Just put the big C on him, mate. Nice to see a few future stars in that game as well. McCluggage and Barry rack him up. So, just a little curse. Damn you, Beams, who I brought in fantasy this week, was the only one that didn't score well in that game. On the next note, only on one heel, Buddy racked up a massive score against the undermanned Collingwood defence. So the learning from that is your forwards will have a field day against the Pies in the coming weeks, especially with their key stocks well and truly thin as they come. I think a first gamer was even manning him up at one stage. And last but not least, seems Andrew Gaff is due for a little bit of a holiday, might be sent over east for a while. Now, many have had their say about the rules in recent times, and as Gaff is in not any of the teams I own and is in many of the top 10 in AFL fantasy as we speak, maybe part of the punishment for his little indiscretion over the weekend should be to clear his score to zero. So maybe rather than get 6 weeks, give him 4 weeks and a donut, because it might be a little bit hand of the old statesman.
No, because I'm having a fantasy playoff with a guy from work, and there's a slab on the line, and I need Gaff score to get me over the line. Oh. So there will be no donut.
Oh, okay.
What I've noticed this week's a lot of teams playing through the corridor, especially the Cats. They took on the Tigers on Friday night to try and beat the web, the wall, whatever you want to bloody call it. The Crows did it as well against the Power, the D's. Well, they're playing Witch's Hat, so they could have gone any which way to goal on the weekend. And after quarter time, the Dogs were playing a bit more direct football as well, and the Saints were certainly doing it earlier. So that opens up the game, a lot more scoring, which we saw over the weekend. And just in that Dogs game as well, Josh Dunkley, since he's come back on that team after the bye rounds, he's been playing pure midfield and absolutely smashing it out of the park in both formats, really. I'm a little bit salty because I did draft him early in the year in our home league, Steve, but put him into the pool, and now my opposition this week in the prelim final will be rolling him against me this week. So, yeah, you don't like that, but hopefully he's not playing this week and has some sort of training mishap. Not massive, just one.
Oh,
not
Jesus
massive.
Christ.
Unbelievable.
Just what is going on? You know, especially like after two Bulldogs players have just been in a car accident and had to miss time.
Car accident. It was a fender bender at best. And the airbags didn't
Bulldog supporters, just be very careful if you see Jono heading down training with a crowbar.
Oh, yeah, I'm going for everyone. Tom Mitchell, Paddy Cripps, you're watch out. You're next as well. What else have I got? Channel 7. I don't know if you guys saw it on Friday night, Cam. I know you're the football, but this whole live ladder bull crap, I'm bloody sick of it. It was 4 minutes into the game. Geelong had just kicked a point. What do they do? Live ladder. Let's see the 0.01% change, and then Geelong going up to third or fourth, whatever the hell it was. We don't need it every 45 seconds when there's a goal change or anything like that. Just wait to the end of the game. Then we can see the live ladder there and see how things progress. Moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we do talk waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 75% rule. Not too much for me this week. I've got Jakey Stringer playing against the Saints this week. He should kick a bag full. He's in 69% of teams. Benny Stratton had an absolute monster game against the Bombers on the weekend. He's actually had a pretty good couple of weeks. He's only in 4% of teams. And we do know the Cats do give up points to the defenders as well. Mitch Brown, if you want another Essendon forward, he's 16%. And look, just stream your Tigers forwards against the Gold Coast this weekend. We saw the Melbourne forwards have a day out. Play your Bombers players against the Saints, and fade your Gold Coast players, because stick a fork in them. Stewie Jew is not playing. Jared Lyons or Barlow, anyone with any sort of talent in that team, just to get those draft picks. That's all I've got for this week. What have you got, Steve?
Didn't think it was weird that the Mark, did you see the thing from Mark Evans saying he'd sue player managers if they told their players not to go to the Gold Coast? On what? On what grounds?
Like, they're absolutely salty. Like, even Jared Witts, they were interviewing him after the channel, the game against Melbourne. They're like, oh, have you banned Tom Lynch? They're like, yeah, we've cut ties. We don't want to talk to him. We want nothing to do with him. They're just salty.
I like the us against them mentality. I think it's really a good way to build cohesion. But, like, I don't know. Like, suing people? Like, come on, man.
He's not breaking his contract, say that, though. So
wouldn't you rather people say, I don't want to go there, than you draft them and 2 years later they're just walking out the door for a pick 40 spots later?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. Anyway, yes, like Jono said, my top waiver pick is Richmond against the Suns. Essendon against St Kilda, I've also got penciled in there. Nick Newman, 71% ownership. I think he's really starting to hit his straps. A lot of kick mark across the Sydney half back line there. Not a great matchup though against Melbourne, but we know he's a fantasy beast. Matt DeBoer, I like, 68% against Adelaide. With Toby Green's injury, I think he probably holds his spot, although Tim Taranto come in. But we've seen Matt DeBoer, he's been pretty handy and generally scores pretty well. He's reliable for a few tackles and gets his hand on the pill quite a bit. So I like Matt DeBoer if you need forward. Josh Walker. We've got to talk about Josh Walker, boys. 18% ownership. He has been ripping since he's moved into defence. I thought this week he's going to absolutely kill him with Hodge and Harris Andrews, you know, had a game back, but had his best game, unbelievably. Playing against Collingwood this week, which is just defensive gravy. So look for Josh Walker to keep things going. Magic Dorr for Supercoach, like I mentioned, is a ruck forward in that format. And just tall defenders against the Hawks, so you've got your choice of Blixarves or Lockie Henderson for the Cats.
No, it's a pretty good pickups there. And what have you got, Statesman?
Always have the extra pick of the week, and that's Jack Loney, a forward for St Kilda, only owned by 24%. He's been out in outstanding form in recent weeks, scores of 93, 83 and 99 in his last three games for an average of 91.7. So worthwhile heading up, playing on the Friday night up against Essendon.
Fair enough. And did you have anything, Cam? Or
I only had De Boer and Loney actually as well. Statesman, do you reckon Loney's going to start to play in the ruck? Hickey went down. Long is already gone. Who else is there?
Yeah, it's a very good question. But I thought that they might go the young option, and I'm just quickly looking through. Yeah, Marshall, I thought, might be the go. But if he gets time in the ruck, it's not going to be a bad thing, to be quite honest with you. So it's worthwhile having a bit of a look to see what structures they go for. But you've also got Lewis Pierce as well, so it'll be interesting to see if they go down that line.
Marshall's are laid out Saturday night, or
yes, so yep.
They'll probably bring him straight back in.
And they probably need a sixth or seventh ruckman on the list, so no doubt they'll recruit a couple more. Seems to be what they're doing at the moment, so there's no point ever drafting a St Kilda ruck because you don't know who's playing on a weekly basis.
Well, Tommy Hickey was pretty serviceable for a couple of weeks, and now look to pick up Ryan Marshall.
Two or three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Marshall was scoring well when he's in the team. He's pretty athletic guy.
Yeah, well, he got around the ground, kicked goals, takes some great marks as well, so look to grab him next week as well, if named, against the mighty Tom Bell Chambers. But if you want to follow us on social media, not social media, if you want to check out the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the 5-star rating button there. And if you've got a couple of minutes, do give us a review. We really appreciate it. Nothing this week, guys. Everyone's still just concentrating on their fantasy finals, I think. So hopefully we get a couple next week. But moving on to Statesman Skippers for this week, where he gives us something a bit unique and something a bit more solid as well. So what have you got this week?
Well, our captain risky last week was Alex Neil Bullen. He only pumped out a 90, gentlemen. So that was a bit disappointing, seeing 62 of their 22 actually got tons. So we better lift our captain risky ranking. Very quickly, the loophole, best options, Essendon v St Kilda. It's look at your midfield against St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, even the Bont tunned up this week, which is quite amazing. So you get on to your midfielders. I reckon Zach can handle the pressure of the man and still. I tried to keep away from Jack McRae this week because I was worried about the man of steel, but his tag isn't that strong. But, of course, you also have Devon Smith, who's been on a bit of a quieter patch of recent times. Seb Ross, a massive score this week. I think he got 160. And, of course, Jack Stevens is always worthwhile, a hit up on a loophole option for St Kilda. But our captain risky this week is you always look at your ruckman up against the Western Bulldogs. So it's big Toddy Goldstein. He's been in magnificent form. I think he's the second best averaging ruck over the past month and a half, over the last 6 weeks. So he's going to be a massive captain risky option. And I'm looking at probably 125 plus for Toddy Goldstein this weekend.
Yeah, I like it, especially Brody Grundy going up against Steph Martin, who's just been putting out crap lately. It's been crazy for Steph Martin this year.
Split rock.
Oh, yeah, I suppose Big O. He's been doing a pretty good job, actually scored pretty well on the weekend as well.
Big O's crushed him.
Yeah, well, Big Arch in the Neefel did pretty well as well. So maybe they still go, was Steph 30-ish? When he retires, they still go the two ruck combo. So not looking good if you're owning Brisbane ruckman. And lastly, but not leastly, we do have Mr. Cam McLaughlin. He is back after talking to the people about rule changes. And you did mention a few rule changes at the start of the show there, Cam, but there is only one way to solve congestion, and that is multi-ball. We have three balls. Come in. You've got three areas of the ground. You've got two 50s in the middle. Just drop the balls in for 5 minutes at a time. Bang. Watch the fantasy scores go through the roof.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
It's the only way to solve it.
Multi-ball and all forwards have to use segues.
But what have you got there for the injury report this week? There was a few.
So just on Steve's point, so Dawson Simpson, it's unknown. So basically been doing a lot of research before we come into the podcast, always do. Dawson Simpson went down with an ankle injury, but he's going to have scans tomorrow to confirm the severity of that injury. I'd be willing to put a line through him as far as fantasy football goes for the year. He won't be back, and all it means is that Rory Lobb is probably going to see a boost. He might get on to what he was promising at the start of the year. I'll just go through a couple of the top ones, by the way. So Sean Higgins had some keyhole surgery, but for those that don't know what that is, it's basically like spring cleaning on the weekend. You basically miss one weekend doing the whole thing, and then you feel much better for it the week after. So he'll come back and likely play next week. Dylan Scheel was a big out for the Giants this week. He actually rolled his ankle 2 weeks in a row. And so they were thinking whether or not they should let him run, have a play, or if they have enough tape to even strap it, because the guy uses just strapping all over his body already. And turns out they didn't have enough, so they just gave him a rest. He'll be back probably next week. Leon Cameron said he was looking likely. And Taranto should be back then as well. Shane Savage.
Cool.
Hammy Womp, he's gone for the season. A bit disappointing. He was one of my smokies in the early season, and you know, he's basically gone all downhill from there. Darcy Moore, again, just gone for the season. He barely played the part of the season, to be honest. He'd get injured, come back, and you know, it's rinse and repeat. So he's gone for the rest of the season. Lids went down. Basically, half the roster of the GWS Giants went down today, but. Lids went down. He had his calf strapped with ice pretty early on in the game. Fantasy irrelevant, I'd say, for the rest of the season. He might come back for finals, but there's no way he'll be back by the end of the normal season, so probably put a line through him. Brother Gill just can't catch a break. We've already mentioned it a couple of times in the show, but I think Gil's battling a Cindy. And that's causing all... Yeah, it's frustrating him. And so it's just causing him to make all these sorts of wild claims and rules and all sorts of things. No one likes a Cindy.
No one likes a Cindy. But what I found funniest about that GWS-Carlton match is that GWS were rolling 16 players for that last quarter, pretty much, against 18 Carlton blokes and still kicking away. So they've got some talent.
I was going through the list, the Carlton list, and I was like, oh, probably delisted. And, I mean, you could basically put a line through six players that were playing today that won't be there next year.
Plus the blokes who got injured in the likes of Silvani, Liam Jones, and the rest of them.
Yeah, correct.
I reckon Dad'll keep...
Oh, so Jack on the list. Around. Yeah. 6-year contract extension, maximum price.
What do you reckon the Sauce was thinking today? He's just thinking, I'm going to pick Dylan Scheel, I'll take this person. Because that's like his draft pool, right?
Gaff will look good in the dark navy blue, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, the salary cap wouldn't be massive.
I think he went down the pet shop and was looking for a stool pigeon. If I was him, that'd be the way I'd be going. Check out the bus timetable, see when you can throw someone under it.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up for this week.
You doing the keeper thing?
Oh, yeah, keeper. Last week of keepers. Sorry. Mine's all over the place. What have you got for a statesman? Sorry, mate.
Well, if you don't interrupt this week, I might actually go through my list and then we can have a discussion afterwards.
Well,
rather than just canning the whole subject all together, mate. But let's move on to Port Adelaide. So I'll actually go through my buys and my sells and then we can discuss rather than taking my thunder or stealing my thunder there, Mr. Host. So with Port Adelaide, my buy is Ollie Wines, my sell is Tom Rockcliffe. Now, I'm a great one. We discussed this about this time on ground. It's a real issue at Port Adelaide. They've got too much of the same, so it's quite interesting who they actually recruited. But they've also got a lot of forward mids. Now, I think they need to make a decision at the end of the year and try to get the mix right. And part of getting the mix right is who is our long-term stay solid inside mid. Well, he's a man we want to have on the field for 82 to 84%, like every solid inside mid, and that's Ollie Wines. He's not getting the time nor the points, so he is the buy for a long-term keeper. And the sell is Tommy Rockcliffe. What is your role if you're going to play the real team game? He's not the points, but he's still got the brand. And if you're going to sell someone, you've got to sell him while he's got the brand.
No, I totally agree on that one, especially with Rocky going into his 30s now and Wines is just about to hit the peak of his career. So totally agree that they've got a lot of those forward mids as well. I mean, you saw Wingard, Gray, all kicked three goals on the weekend and spending time in that midfield as well.
Yeah, I like Sam Powell Pepper. I think he's a huge buy. You got a lot of guys who are going to sort of move on at the same time, like Robbie Gray's over 30, Westhoff's, 47.
Donuts.
Ebert's getting older, Travis Boak's getting older. There's going to be a massive opening up for these guys coming up soon, so...
Yep, agreed. So moving on to Richmond, really hard one because let's face it, they're a great team, but they're not a good fantasy team. My buy is because he's probably been on the nose of a lot of owners, and this is more of a salary cap rather than a draft thing. But if you upset people in salary cap, it affects how they think about you. So one of my buys is Dustin Martin. I think he is actually great value at the moment because he's been underwhelming. The other one who's had a really good middle patch of the year is Short. I think he's going to be a magnificent defender and heaps of scoring potential, but he hasn't got that security yet. And my sell is slight little bit of brand, but that's Ellis. I think he has just got a little bit of brand left. If you're going to sell him, you've got to sell him now because he's going to be like this for the rest of the career. He's going to have a few good games a year, but I don't think he's ever going to be anything like we thought he was going to be.
No, I completely agree on the Ellis thing. He's just going to be that outside player, float around the halfback for a little bit. That's about it. I love the Jaden Short one because he's one of those people that could potentially get forward status. We know he runs forwards and kicks those long goals, but they use him as well. So similar to a James Sicily, where he does get that DPP and Dusty as well. Those expectations from last year's seasons have completely gone, so absolutely gettable.
Any thoughts, Steve?
I agree. Dustin Martin's probably the guy you'd be targeting as a Dusty owner. I've certainly had many an offer for him, all rebuked, is that the word? Rebuffed? I don't know.
Rebuffed?
I fail English. It's impossible. The guy who always interests me in that team is Nank. There's just something
about
him.
Yeah, I don't know where he sits.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know if they bring in a forward ruck, then he sort of gets killed. Can he be a solo ruck? He's been sort of good. Does he win enough hit outs? Can he get better? He's an interesting one. Yeah, it's really hard to say who you're buying. If their game plan changes, they could all sort of become fantasy beasts. Maybe, you know, Tom Lynch goes there and changes the way they move the ball forward. I don't know. That's, you know, these are questions. Oh, Jack Higgins is a buy.
I don't know where he sits because I don't know whether he's already overvalued or not.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so. And I mean, they've got guys who are going to move on, like, you know, Griggs coming to the end sort of thing. Like, you know, Koch isn't old, so.
So put it this way. Clayton Oliver and Taranto heading in their second seasons were sitting on waiver wires. And I think people have got the hots for Higgins already, so I don't know whether he's overrated when you put Taranto's and Oliver's in that situation. So moving on to St Kilda. Now, this was a bit of a tougher one because I don't know where they are as a club. So my two buys are Billings and Gresham, but Billings could be brand and worth being discussed as a sell. But I think he has got some potential in the future, whether it's under this coaching group or not, I'm unsure. And the second one, the sell, is Stevens and Savage. Savage has never put a year together, although people still got a bit of hype around him.
Yeah, I have big questions about St Kilda. I wouldn't be buying anyone. Yeah, I'd probably sell. I don't know if I'd sell Jack Stephen, maybe. But just, I mean, Nolan Richardson's not going to last, surely. They've got
correct.
Money.
That's why I said I reckon Billings will go somewhere with another coaching group. Yep.
They've got so many guys who are mid-forwards that it's just, I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to bring anyone in?
They're Port Adelaide light.
Yeah, I don't know about St Kilda. They're kind of a funny club. Maybe Rowan Marshall. I mean, he's got some promise. I mean, and Blake Akers has had a couple of crappy weeks since coming back. I still like him. Maybe his value's tanked. I don't know. It's a really tough. I really don't know where to put St Kilda players.
Yeah, I'm hot on Akers at the moment, but maybe I overrate him, so don't think he's a cheap enough buy. So moving on to Sydney, I've got Parker and Dan Han as your buys. Now, Dan Han is, you'll get him for about £2.50, and you sell Buddy.
Yeah.
And you sell Buddy after this week, after playing Collingwood.
That's it. Get that value up for 1 week. The big score. People like that. Get rid of him. The Dan Han one's interesting, especially if he moves to another club, because they've got that like-for-like midfield. I know the younger players are coming through, but if he goes to another team, certainly be looking to grab him, because we know what a player is. He's an absolute star.
Yeah, my buys are Mills and Zach Jones, for the simple fact we've got some big questions on the Sydney half-back line, namely Jake Lloyd's out of contract, Jared McVeigh's, at the very end. So there's going to be positions. We know the Sydney half-back has traditionally been a high-scoring role all the way back to Malcheski days. So I think there's certainly some interest there. Both those guys, well, I mean, Zach Jones should be cheap as chips. Callum Mills probably still has some brand value attached to him, but I think they're potentially great long-term scorers.
Absolutely. Moving on to West Coast, you buy for 22 cents and probably receiving some change after that is Dom Sheed, the Sheed Island man from Archieville. He is, you might as well snaffle him up. You can get him, Dan Han, and probably Billings for the price of one, and you sell Shannon Hearn.
Yeah, if you can.
He's got great value. He's sitting in the top 10 defenders.
He's had a great year, but he's always been that solid defender, though, so I suppose someone's going to need him, but while the value's up, get rid of him.
Absolutely. Not much to say. I do agree. Western Bulldogs are last. I only have buys because I couldn't think of a sell because I don't think anyone's overrated at the Bulldogs right now. They are underperforming as a group and as individuals. So the buys are Bont. He's been very disappointing, averaging in the 80s. Should be a lot better. He's probably a super coach player more than he is an AFL fantasy player. I understand that. Dunks, although in his recent 6 weeks, but if people were looking at the average rather than the past 5 games, then you could still get him at a better value. I just purchased him with a couple of others. I got Martin and Dunks. I can't remember who the other one was for selling Treloar.
Wow.
And Toby McLean. I think his past 6 to 8 weeks has really put a bit of a dampener on his year and probably get him at a bit of decent value.
I still think with McLean, he's carrying that little shoulder niggle. Something's not right with him. He's
no doubt.
Absolutely with that.
Yep.
Josh Dunkley, oh, his value is going up and up and up for me. We saw 2 years ago in 2016 when he was just playing in that half forward what he could do and could still knock out tons from there, but I wouldn't be... if I was selling Josh Dunkley, I'd be asking for a little bit more, but that's a great get if you can get those 3 blokes for Adam Treloar, definitely.
Yeah, I'm not sure who I'd be selling. Yeah, I think... I'm with you in that they're underperforming, so they're probably no one I'd be looking to move out. Maybe I'd throw in Caleb Daniel as steak knives or something if just to get a deal over the line. I don't know. Not sure what you can do there. I think Tim English is a good buy as well.
Ah, yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Definitely.
I don't think people will know whether to keep him or not. There was a bit of discussion on Twitter this week about
yeah, English. And they mentioned 2 others, and I said English very easily is the most important keeper. And I know Ruckman take a little bit longer, but what they've got, they're all makeshift roles. So as soon as English is right, the role is his.
Mm.
And he's shown signs, and I think they get generally excited. I've heard Robert Murphy talk about him in terms of they seem as he's got freakish abilities when we're talking the marking ability. So they see him as a ruckman slant resting key forward that could do some magical things. I reckon next year it rolls. It actually happens for him.
And on that Tim English thing, he's just got that ability to get around the ground as well. So he's like that extra midfielder. And he's good on the ground too. So ground ball gets, he'll get as well. So definitely be looking to grab Timmy English if you can, but what is he, 19 years old, needs a bit of muscle first to compete, so probably next year or the year after we'll see Tim English establish himself in the competition.
Seven games this year, I reckon you'll see 15 to 20 next year.
Yeah, a couple of injuries in that one as well, I think, with Tim English.
You see Roughhead be moving to another club, Jono, or...
I think he will be going, but I just need him. I would love to see him just keep him down back as that key defender, because we are light on, the Doggies are light on key defenders. Marcus Adams has always had injury problems. Kieran Collins hasn't come along as expected, and they're playing North Melbourne this weekend with Waite and Brown, so Jesus Christ.
Is he on North Melbourne's list? That's a big in.
Oh, no. 3 big key forwards.
Jesus.
In-season trading has begun. No, but if... Hey, look, Brown and Waite, I know they're in the high 80s, but Jesus, I'll be streaming them this week if I could.
You might get Waite.
Waite's in around the 85% ownership.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You might. That's
But you put a lot of that to the keeper league ownership as well. So
if you got Jared Waite and you're keeping Jared Waite,
it could be someone's grand final this week. He's been holding him for the matchup against the Bulldogs this week.
That's delete league territory.
You would not be holding Jared Waite in any sort of league. But good stream this week, that's for sure. All right, we are going to wrap this up this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15 as well. Search The Draft Doctors on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. The finals are well and truly upon us for those who are just about to enter, so good luck in your matchups, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.